We have the completed revelation concerning Christ. God does not speak in many different ways and portions anymore. We have a superior, completed revelation. And it is all in and through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. He has spoken to us through His Son.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Now, Dave, before we get to today's teaching, I just wanted to share an important message for our listeners. You may or may not know, but a week from tomorrow, on Saturday, April 25th, I'll be in Waukesha, Wisconsin for the VCY 65th Anniversary Rally. It'll be at the Waukesha Expo Center. Doors open at 5. The rally starts at 6. And we're just going to be praising God for His faithfulness to VCY, and I'm going to be sharing from the Word of God. So with that in mind, I'd love to meet you. Will you make plans to be there at the VCY Rally, Waukesha, Wisconsin, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m.? Again, love to see you there. Okay, well, with that in mind, let's get to our message. And we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and we are taking a look at the reality that although God spoke in many ways, in many portions to the fathers, He has now spoken through His Son. We have His revelation. And today's passage will share why we don't have anything more than what we have in the completed Word of God. So then, let's turn together to Hebrews, chapter 1, as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
To a point, or more accurately, to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the road to Emmaus, on the day Jesus rose from the dead, He shares to those two dejected disciples this truth. You could turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And He said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory?" And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the scriptures. And if you look down at verse 44, "Now He said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. All the prophecies, bit by bit, in all these different ways, pointed to Jesus Christ. And that's how God spoke in the past to the fathers through the prophets. But notice how He speaks today. And the question would be, does He speak to us in dreams? Does He speak to us in visions? Does He do it like He did before? People say, well, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, so yes, He does. But that's a wrong interpretation of Scripture. His character is the same. He's the same God. He's not changed, but He does things differently. You can be the same person and do things differently. And God has chosen to do things differently. Notice He says here, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son. The term last days, eschatoumeron, eschatos, speaks of the end, the outermost, the extreme, the last. So He's speaking of the outermost days. And at this time of the writing of the book of Hebrews, He's saying, we're in the outermost days. People say, well, I wonder if it's the end times. I say, yeah, it sure is. It was the end times back in the New Testament. That's when we have the end times, these last days. The term eschatos is where we get our term eschatology, which is the study of end times. So what the author is saying here is we're in the end times. 1 Peter 1:17, "For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." 1 Peter 4:7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." We are in the last days. Christ could come again at any time, removing His church, and then bring forth the day of the Lord and come again in judgment. We are in the last times. That places an urgency on listening to him, an urgency. God has spoken previously through the prophets in many parts, in many ways to Israel, and now he has spoken through his son. And I think I said it was a perfect, but it's a completed action. It's an aorist tense. He has spoken. He is not continuing to speak through his son now. He has spoken. The totality of what he wants us to know has been said. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to us through his completed word. Yes, he does. But what is being revealed has been completed. Completed action. God has said all he wants to say. And he has done so through his son. By virtue of this, we have his completed word, as we'll say. He has spoken to us through his son. All the inferior and incomplete, bit by bit, piece by piece, Old Testament revelation was leading up and focusing on the superior revelation of his son, Jesus Christ. As we saw in Luke, Jesus, after his resurrection, pointed to the Old Testament prophets and Moses pointing the law, pointing to him. You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying here that Jesus is the son, that he's the son of God, pointed to his son. He is the complete word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained to him. He has spoken to us through his son, Christ. It's the totality of what God wants us to know about himself, his will, and us. There's no more revelation coming. We have the completed revelation once for all delivered to the saints. We saw this when we studied Jude. Jude 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Paul shares this to the Corinthians when revelation was incomplete, that it would be complete. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails, but if they're gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. That means replaced by a superior power. That's what that word means. If there are tongues, they will cease. That means stop. Okay. If there is knowledge, it'll be done away. Again, replaced by something superior. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. That's what they did at that point. But when the perfect comes, neuter gender, speaking of God's word, I believe, the partial will be done away. The word perfect means complete. It speaks of something that is done, teleos. It's done. It's complete. We have the completed word. The apostle Paul would talk about this. He's talking about the fact that the church is built on the apostles and prophets. Built on the completed word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built, already done, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, he says here, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In Peter's final words, he makes it clear that we have everything we need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, through his precious and magnificent promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. In Paul's final words, he says all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In the final book in our Bibles, John, in his final words, inspired by the Spirit, says, I testify to everyone, Revelation 22:18, who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words written of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city, which are written in this book. Besides a brief period of revelation predicted during the tribulation, that 7-year tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, in which God turns back to the Jews, spoken of in Daniel, Acts 2, and Revelation, there are no more dreams. There are no more visions. We have the completed revelation concerning Christ. God does not speak in many different ways and portions anymore. We have a superior, completed revelation, and it is all in and through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has spoken to us through his Son. You know, people are politely bored with God. They want more. They want more. They want something that's more exciting. God's word is not enough for them. And it's really sad. You know, we should have a heart like the writer of Proverbs. We should be seeking God's word like treasure. We should be seeing it as valuable. We should be desiring it. But since God's word is complete, that puts out of business all the false prophets and hucksters who deceptively disguise themselves as servants of Christ, but yet pull people away from the word of God onto their prophecies and visions and experiences. They say they believe in especially the word of God. They say they believe in that, but yet they bring in that other junk, which shows they don't in reality. The scriptures now reveal to the fullest extent what God wants us to know about him, his Son, his will, and us. He has spoken to us through his Son. And again, we have a great problem in these churches these days, people listening to other voices. His word's not enough. They need stories from smooth-lipped storytellers and motivational speakers posing as pastors. And there's nothing new. Paul would say that was going to happen. 2 Timothy 4:1, I saw him charged in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. And by his appearing, Paul writes to Timothy in his final words, and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, if that's not happening in your church, something is wrong. He says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't stand it. They can't sit under it. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth, that's the word of God, and turn aside to myths or literally stories. Folks, we have the completed word, and people want something more. And the people who want something more are those who have a heart that hasn't been changed. They're those who we'll see in the book of Hebrews are naming the name of Christ, but they're ready to turn for something else. And God doesn't want them to, and he's going to warn them that they would turn to him. We have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So with this in mind, do you want to hear from God? Get in the word of God. It's his final revelation. And get in it with a right heart, desiring to hear from him. Okay, so Jesus Christ is God's final word. Now, what else does our passage say about him? Who is this Jesus? Who is the Son? God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son. He's the Son of God, by the way, and we'll talk about that more. Whom he appointed heir of all things. Now, what does it mean that he is the heir of all things? What does that mean? It speaks of inheriting something, right? Inheriting all things. What does that mean? Well, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. If you look back, this is speaking of Christ, by the way. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. Christ is the one who created all things. Everything was created for the Son, by the Son. Everything exists for him. And you say, well, wait a second. How could he then be appointed or placed as the heir of all things if it was all for him from the beginning? How is that? 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. You see, the Son of God took on human flesh and he voluntarily gave up everything but his deity. He humbled himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being obedient to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him as Lord over all, and he inherited back everything. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Turn there. We read it earlier. You see, he was always the Lord of all. But on earth, if you looked at him, you wouldn't see that. You would see him in his humble state. You would see him as a bondservant. You would see him, as we'll see in a moment, made for a little while lower than angels. Philippians 2:5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. We have Christ the God of the universe, God the Son, who takes on human flesh and humbles himself to be obedient to the Father, to trust the Father in his humanity, to not rely on his deity, but to do all things in trusting the Father. He entrusted the one who judges righteously. Therefore, verse 9, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, this is the highest it could be, that at the name of Jesus, now you'll see in Greek that that's possessive, that the name that Jesus possesses, Jesus' name, and what name is that, every knee should bow, of those who are heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, and there's the name, is Lord. That's the highest name, to the glory of God the Father. The Son, before the incarnation, had rights to all things because he created it all for himself. And after the incarnation, he was appointed heir of all things. Therefore, we need to listen to him. It's all his. You're his. We're his. It's all his. We need to listen to him. And notice, he's also the creator of the world. Verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, in whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. The term world here is not the normal term for world, cosmos, but the word aionos, which speaks of the ages. And it's in the plural. It speaks of worlds. And your NASB will give you a note saying literally the ages. It speaks of not only the physical universe, but the reaches of time and space. It speaks of everything. Through Christ, God made everything. We saw it earlier, but I'll read it again. For by him, Colossians 1:16, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. John 1:3, all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Therefore, we need to listen to him. He not only owns everything, but he made everything. We need to listen to Jesus. And then notice, we'll see three truths given in verse 3 that reveal he is God. Verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, who upholds all things by the word of his power. You could translate it this way, literally, who being or who is, speaking of the Son, who is the radiance or literally the outshining of his glory. You say, well, what's the glory of God? Well, you remember in Exodus chapter 33, Moses said, I pray, show me thy glory. And he said, I myself will make my goodness pass by you and proclaim the name of the Lord before you and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious and show compassion to whom I'll show compassion. God's divine attributes are collectively expressed in his glory. And Christ is the radiance of his glory. When you want to see the glory of God, you look at Jesus Christ. We know very clearly that he began to manifest that. He showed his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. He revealed his glory to them. Matthew 17. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, his garments as white as light. And then Moses and Elijah appeared with them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here, if you wish, Matthew 17. I will make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Well, Peter puts foot in the mouth there, right? While he was speaking, Peter, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. We don't do enough listening to Jesus, okay? We have his word. We have everything we need for life and God's, for every relationship, for every circumstance, for everything in our lives. And we need to listen to him. So he says here, he's the radiance of his glory. He's the outshining of the glory of God. And we know that he is also, notice secondly, the exact representation of his nature. He is, it's present tense, not past. He is the radiance who is the outshining of his glory. He is the exact representation of his nature. The term exact representation or express image, New King James, comes from the Greek word that's translated into English, character. It speaks of an impression or stamp or an engraved character made by a die, the exact thing. And he is the exact representation of what? His nature, God's nature. The term nature is hypostasis, means essence or substance. The Lord Jesus is God in essence and substance. He's not simply the Son of God. He is God the Son. John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You've seen God. That's what he's saying. We have one God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:15, and he is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:19, for it was all the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That was the character we saw in person of Jesus Christ. We'll see this next week, Lord willing, in Hebrews 1:8. But of the Son, this is the Father speaking, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Hebrews 1:8. God the Father speaks of God the Son as God. So we need to listen to him. He created all things. He's God. He has the rights to all things. And notice he is the sustainer of all things. End of verse 3. And who does, or who is, he is, or he upholds, continually, habitually, all things by the word of his power. You know, God spoke and this universe came into existence. Light be and light was. He brought about it through his word. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. He holds everything together. Only God can do this. He spoke and it was created. He speaks, it's held together or destroyed. He upholds everything by the word of his power. Folks, Christ holds you together. He holds you together, physically and spiritually, emotionally, mentally, everything. If you ever feel like life is out of control, trust the Lord. He's holding everything together. He can deal with you too. He'll hold you together. By the word, everything was created, it was done, and by his word, he holds all things together. So we need to listen to him, to listen to his word. So what child is this? The living God, Jesus Christ, creator, sustainer of all, who became a baby, took on human flesh. How amazing is that? To die for our sins. You see, God's final word, his complete revelation, is about Jesus, his son. And we're going to see in a moment, Luke recounts this in Acts 4:12. He says, there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men, which we must be saved. Notice the third thing we see about Jesus, about the son, why we need to listen. End of verse 3. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Our text points to Jesus Christ had made, done deal, purification of sins. The term purification, katharismos, directly relates to the Greek noun katharos, which means cleansing. It speaks of that which is free from dirt. It speaks of the purity of metals that have been refined. It speaks metaphorically of an unadulterated mixture, something that's pure. In a ritual sense, it spoke of that which is clean versus unclean. And so here we see it speaks of, in context, the cleansing of sins. When he had made purification of sins. Jesus did that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. And when you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's the application for us?
Dave, the application is quite simple. We need to understand who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is God in human flesh. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the heir of all things. All was created for him, and he came and he made, as we've just begun to see, cleansing for sin. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. And if you're listening, you can have forgiveness of sins. You can be cleansed from your sins. Will you call upon Jesus today? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you trust in Him for salvation? If you do, you'll have all your sins forgiven and you will receive eternal life. I pray that you do.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.